This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
On today's show, we go over the many things we got wrong on our show last week. We describe how Etihad has sunk to a new low, and we reminisce about our extreme stacking adventures. Frequent Miler on the Air starts now. Today's main event, Super Stacking Stories. On today's show, we're going to talk about stacking, portals, rewards, all kinds of things to create incredible rebates on your purchases. And today, rather than go through the steps of exactly how to do these things, we're going to tell some stories of things we've actually done that will hopefully give you inspiration for your shopping trips.
Yeah, and if you want to jump ahead to that or you want to come back to it later on to listen to it again, don't forget you can always find the timestamps in the show notes. Just expand the description box to find those. And wherever you're watching or listening, don't forget to like this video. Give it a thumbs up. Leave us a review. Leave us your comments and your own stacking stories. I'm actually super excited to read through some reader stacking stories. So please share those in the comments.
Absolutely.
All right, let's drag out this week's giant mailbag, Greg.
All right, this week's giant mail comes from everybody.
Everybody. Everybody.
Almost everybody who listened to last week's podcast and noticed things we got wrong. So a whole bunch of stuff that we got wrong last week, and I think it all needs to be addressed. So last week's show was called The Elite Benefit Battle, Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, and IHG. And first up, we talked about... In the question of the week, someone asked about getting a referral or referring someone to the Atmos, that's the Alaska credit card. And we said, no, you're out of luck. There's no way to refer people to this card because Bank of America doesn't offer referrals. Well, we were, let's say 10% right. I'm not even going to say 10%. Half right on that one.
I think it was a solid 10% though.
So... You know, to be specific, Bank of America doesn't offer them, but in some cases, the co-brand, in this case, Alaska, does offer them. And so Davey D. wrote, I have the Atmos Summit card and referred my wife, who applied and was approved for the Atmos Ascent card. I did receive the 10,000 points bonus, so I can confirm this works. And then Cindy Furlin, 2697, said, the Alaska Summit does let you refer people and you will get 10K points. It's really hard to find and they will take it down when they're giving a limited bonus. I actually got it three times. NK3 says, sounds like Greg and Nick need to read Tim's post from August 21st about Atmos credit card referrals. Yeah, we do. G kicked in saying, just want to share my experience with the question of the week from this episode. I opened the Summit card, no Ascent yet. And then I used the referral link from Tim's article to refer my wife for an Ascent. She got approved, finished the spend, and about a week later, the telefriend bonus showed up in my Atmos account. Process is a little quirky, but it definitely works. And PG actually shared the URL to Tim's post in their comment. So we'll share it in the show notes today.
That's right. And Tim also, by the way, reminded us that it's possible. And he didn't even realize that we had already been set straight on that a few times. And he said, oh, yeah, actually, you can. So, yes, everybody let us know. And you're absolutely right. So, like Greg said, I think we probably said something to the effect of Bank of America doesn't offer referrals. And this is a really strange one because, and I'm not going to defend us. We should have known. But this is a strange one because it seems to be offered like on the Alaska side.
Right.
But obviously it's still connected to getting a Bank of America card, but it's unlike any other bank referrals.
Now
it's great to keep that in mind.
And talk about all the other ones that we forgot.
Yeah, well, good. I mean, please do.
All right. All right. But that's not done with our errors. That was just one error.
No.
Another thing during the show, I think I said that IHG Diamond status requires 40 nights. Not so fast, says Tex Pat Vet. Who said, you said Diamond status starts at 40 nights. My understanding is that it starts at 70 nights. But at 40 nights, you can choose club lounge access as a perk. Is that what you meant? So I love you, Tex Pet Vet, for giving me the benefit of the doubt there. But no, I was just flat out wrong. And Murray F., you know, just said it short and sweet. IHG Diamond is 70 nights. Platinum is 40. Yes, you're both right.
Yeah, which I, you know, I we should have known that Diamond was more knights than 40, but I have to admit, I was surprised to hear that Platinum was 40 knights because you can get it with the IHG credit card. Didn't even dawn on me that it would require 40 knights to get that status versus just getting a credit card. If you wanted Platinum status, I can't see staying 40 knights to get it.
I remember years ago meeting someone who was very interested in what I did, and he was telling me how he had to book a few more nights in order to keep his platinum status with IHG, and I was like, wait, hold on.
A few more nights,
just get the card. You've
it's
got
not worth one
you
more night, right? I mean, you know, it's like for
he
the
was
$95 or whatever. I don't know what the person the is it 95 still for
95 or
the
99, something like that. Yeah.
yeah, something like that.
He was so thankful. But we're not done with errors. When we were discussing how IHG has a lounge subscription when you get to 40 nights and again at I think 70 nights, I mentioned there's a couple things that we said there. One is I mentioned how you could get 2 years of status by timing it just right. We also talked about how there aren't very many IHG lounges outside of intercontinental hotels. And so few people took exception to those things. Compressors F wrote, the end of year loophole for annual lounge access was closed beginning into 2025. So I'll take your word for it. Now the, and he goes on, or he or she goes on to say, now the access is granted for the rest of the year. It is earned plus the next calendar year. The loophole of earning it at the end of the year and selecting the reward in the new year no longer works. Then they went on to say, throughout Asia, many Crowne Plazas and Holiday Inns have lounges. On that latter point, Jay Young 005 chimed in with, I just want to add, I've gotten club access to IHG Holiday Inn in Thailand. There are quite a few Holiday Inn club lounges in Asia.
Great to know. I knew some Crowne Plazas had lounges, and I think maybe we even mentioned that. And we may have mentioned specifically that in Asia that was more likely. I don't know whether we did or not. I had no idea that there were Holiday Inn club lounges, so that was news to
Yeah.
me.
Right. It kind of goes with like Marriott's lesser brands. Some of those have club lounges in Asia as well. And so you see kind of unusual things like that in Asia, unusual to us. I mean, it's, anyway, so those are great to know. So thank you, everybody, for writing in and correcting us.
Yeah, absolutely. Good information to get out there this week, so thank you for that. All right, let's talk about card news. This week's big card news is that E-Trade customers now qualify for the Morgan Stanley American Express Platinum Card. So the Morgan Stanley variant of the Amex Platinum Card is only available to Morgan Stanley clients, and historically, there was a loophole that had closed in order to kind of get your foot in the door, but otherwise it's not necessarily easy to qualify for that version of the Amex Platinum card unless you've got quite a bit in investments. But now E-Trade, which is owned by Morgan Stanley, does qualify you for that Platinum card. In fact, they have a landing page on the E-Trade website saying as much. So that's great news for people that want the Morgan Stanley version of the Amex Platinum card. Now, why would you want the Morgan Stanley version of the Platinum Card?
Yeah, there's a few reasons. One, you might be able to get the welcome bonus even if you've had the other versions like the regular Platinum Card and the Schwab Platinum Card. I'm saying might because the terms still say no, but many people have. But more importantly, let's sort of long term, one of the great benefits of this card is that you get one free Platinum authorized user. That's a full authorized user who gets all the lounge benefits and elite benefits that the Platinum card offers. So, you could give, if you're in two player mode, you could give your player two the authorized user card for no additional fee, and they would get into, all the Centurion lounges, the Delta clubs when flying Delta up to 10 times per year, and so on and so on. So that's a great perk because normally it costs.
$195 for a platinum
Thank
level additional cardholder.
you. Another reason you might be interested is well, it gives you the ability to cash out points for a penny each. That's okay. Another reason that you might be interested in this card is there's a way with Morgan Stanley to get an annual $895 engagement bonus, which would fully offset that annual fee, the regular annual fee of this card. But the details of how to do it and whether you can do it and how much it might cost to do it are complicated. We'll leave that for another day. But, aside from all that, this card gives you all those same perks and coupons and everything that the regular Platinum card offers. So it's a really valuable card to have. The only downside to this card over the regular Platinum card that I can think of is that referrals only give you like something like $50 cash back if you refer someone else, versus the regular Platinum card will give you membership rewards points and often a ton of membership rewards points when you refer people.
My Schwab Platinum gives a $100 bonus, so
Oh,
I don't know if
100.
Morgan Stanley is less or if it's still the same. But either
It's
way,
probably 100.
most of a vanilla Platinum, oftentimes you can get referral bonuses of 25 or 30,000 points, which if you also had the Morgan Stanley, you could cash out for $250 or $300. So the $100 referral bonus is not particularly generous. But yeah, otherwise, I think for a two-player household where both people want all of the Platinum benefits, but you don't want to pay $900 twice to get the card, or you don't want to pay the $200 additional Platinum card holder on another one. Well, why would you if you could get this, I guess. So it's an interesting path to get that with an E-Trade account, because of course you could open a self-directed E-Trade account that doesn't require any large sum of money or anything in order to qualify. Okay, speaking about qualifying, there's also some news out this week on the Chase front. There is a pre-approved offer some people are seeing for the Sapphire Reserve card worth up to 175,000 points. I believe still after $6,000 in purchases in the first 3 months, though you'll have to see if you're pre-approved for that. And so I wrote a post about that and how to use the Chase pre-approval tool. But in the process myself, I discovered that by logging into my Chase account, now I wasn't able to find the pre-approved offer that I wrote about, but by logging into my Chase account and then going to credit cards. So in the top left, there's a little hamburger menu. I click that and I have a business login. So I had to click where it says business credit cards. And then it brought me to a list of some of the currently available business credit cards. And there was another little tab I could hit for personal. And when I did that and I scrolled around, I had to scroll down a little bit, but I found that it said I was pre-approved for the Sapphire Reserve. It had a green your pre-approved banner on it, which is usually the signal that you are legitimately pre-approved for a card. So that was different because in the past, you may, if you're really into this, you may have known to look at the just for you offers. There's another section that says just for you, and sometimes people would see pre-approved offers there. This is the first I recall seeing a pre-approved offer under the credit cards section of that menu rather than the just for you. So there's another way to find pre-approval offers. In my case, it was just for the standard 125K offer. I didn't apply for it. I know somebody else who did, and they were given the pop-up that they weren't eligible for the bonus because they had or had, I'm not sure if they had in the past or currently had a bonus from another Sapphire card. So they weren't eligible for the welcome offer, but had been pre-approved. So keep in mind that if you don't think you're eligible for the welcome offer, the pre-approval may not mean that you're approved for the offer, just that you're pre-approved for the card. But nonetheless, we found some other things in there too. So I think both Greg and I saw that there was an increased offer for the Sapphire Preferred card in our accounts, a 75K offer rather than the standard 60. There was an ink business preferred offer that was elevated over the public offer, I believe. So it might be worth logging into your Chase account to see what you find under credit cards. Again, that's the menu in the top left-hand corner. If you expand that and go down to business credit cards or where it says credit cards, if you have a consumer login, check and see what you find there.
One more thing about that. If you are targeted for that 175K Sapphire Reserve offer and you are near a Chase branch, I would very much can recommend going into the Chase branch and asking the banker whether you are eligible for the 200,000 point offer that they're targeting for some people, because obviously that's a little better. I think that one requires more spend though, so it would depend on how much spend you can do as to whether that would make sense.
Yep, and you have to go in branch for the 200K offer, and it does seem to be Perhaps more highly targeted, though we don't know, and it's hard for you to know unless you go in. So if you're near a branch, like Greg said, it's probably worth taking a swing at that. All right, next up, we got to talk about being Bonvoyed. Etihad has Bonvoyed us this week. What? I mean, how can Etihad possibly Bonvoy us? They already have, or had, what was arguably the worst cancellation policy, the award cancellation policy in the business. What could they possibly do to make this section?
They had already pushed us way down deep into the into the they'd already pushed us way down deep into a pit. Now they're digging the dirt and piling it up on top of us. So thanks for that, Etihad. Yeah, they already had an awful award change and cancellation policy, and they dug deep and found a way to make it even worse. So now, so you have to understand, when you go to book an Etihad award, there are three ways you
Fair
can,
types.
three fare types, even with points, that you could book. You could book value, comfort, or deluxe. And now, in general, the higher price one you book, the more flexible the change and cancellation rules are. But what they've done is they've said, okay, within 72 hours of the actual flight, you can't change or cancel, no matter how expensive of a fare you booked with points. So,
Oh,
great.
awful.
It is. It's absolutely awful. So if it's more than 72 hours, the cheapest ones can't be canceled at all, ever. But they can be changed for 600 AED, so about $160. Comfort awards, which is that middle tier, can be canceled more than 72 hours away for a 25% fee. But that fee is not just 25% of the miles you spent. The fee is also 25% of the fees and taxes on the award that you spent. And they do this bizarre thing of how they figure out what 25% of the whole thing is they convert the points you paid into 2 cents per mile and add that to the fees you paid, and then take 25% of all that and then convert that back into something. I don't know. So
It's complicated, yeah.
it's this bizarre, complicated thing that is basically a even worse deal than it sounds. So I don't know. I had already said, well, why would you book an Etihad award unless you're 100% sure you're gonna fly it? And they're just making that all the more important that that's the only reason you do it.
Yeah, I ran into somebody with some inside knowledge a while back, and they had told me that initially, like Etihad just wanted to have no changes in cancellations at all, and that they had so, and they've essentially moved in that direction. So I think that must have been a true piece of intel, because that was what they wanted to do originally, and instead they had done the awful policy that we all knew and hated, and now they've changed to, I guess, what they really kind of wanted in the first place. Super frustrating here is that, like, I've talked a bunch about booking JetBlue awards with Etihad points, and those are only bookable in value. So they aren't bookable in comfort or deluxe. So if you're going to book a JetBlue flight with Etihad miles, it can't be canceled at all. There is no cancellation. You can change it if you can find availability on some other day. I mean, and it's $160 to change it. So you'd probably just forfeit your 6,000 miles for most people, over changing it and risking that you might have to change it again.
If you had
I don't
booked a
know.
cheap 6,000 mile flight, but what if you'd use your Etihad miles to book JetBlue Mint to Europe or something like that? It'd be a lot of miles.
Then certainly you may consider the change fee, but the cancellation fee, I mean the 100% cancellation fee, basically just absolutely terrible. So yeah, this is bad news.
If
Bad news. Avoid
you're
it.
stuck in that situation, I'm curious whether paying the change fee and changing if they would allow changing to an Etihad flight that lets you book into deluxe would then give you free cancellation as long as you're 72 hours or more ahead. I don't know if that would work, but that might be a way to cancel for $160 per
Yeah, I mean,
ticket.
I wouldn't book an Etihad award counting on that
No,
working, because I certainly
definitely
wouldn't
not.
count on their customer service. But if you're in the situation where you're like, oh man, I'm going to lose 80,000 miles or whatever, or have to pay the $160 and then I can't find availability, so I'm just going to lose my miles. Then yeah, I mean, it's worth exploring that opportunity. And I'll talk more about how I did something similar to that in just a second in awards, points, and more. Right. So I guess it's time for that. Awards, points, and more. So I canceled an Aeroplan award this week and I learned a few things in the process. Aeroplan, Air Canada Aeroplan has updated their change in cancellation policies, similar-ish to Etihad. They have different types of fares you can book. They have what's called the lowest fare, which has change in cancellation fees. Then they have flexible fares, which are ch free to change in all cabin classes and in some cases free to cancel, or most cases free to cancel. And then they also have this Latitude Award on some of their own flights in economy class. Let's put that aside for a second. So what happened is I booked a lowest business class award to Europe, and I decided that I wanted to change to something else. I had an entirely different booking I wanted to make with my SAS miles, so I needed to cancel. The cancellation fee I realized was double what the change fee was. And so the short version of the story here is that rather than paying the cancellation fee to cancel and get my miles redeposited for my lowest award, instead, I changed to a flexible award because the change fee is half the cost of the cancellation fee. And so my plan was I'll change to a flexible award for half the price, and then I'll just cancel the flexible award and get a refund for free. And so I'll pay
Simple.
half what I would have paid. Simple, simple. But of course, it wasn't that simple because silly me, I changed my lowest business class award to an economy flex award, a flexible economy award. And then when I went to cancel my flexible economy award, there was a cancellation fee. And I was like, what is this? I changed to a flexible award. It's flexible, isn't it? And I thought that they had kind of caught on to my ruse and were just charging me because my original award was not cancelable for the change fee price, essentially. And I came to find out, I came to realize that economy class flexible awards can be changed for free, but not canceled for free. Premium economy and above can be changed or canceled for free if you're booking a flexible award. So I caught my mistake, luckily, before I paid the cancellation fee, and instead I changed again because now I had free changes on my flexible economy award. So I changed that to a flexible premium economy award because a flexible premium economy award allows for free cancellation. And I just found a cheap flexible premium economy award to do that with. It doesn't have to be on the same route. It doesn't even have to be between the same zones. Those flexible change tickets, you can change to anything and you'll get a refund of the difference in the miles. So at the end of the day, what I did was I did a change from a lowest business to what eventually became a premium economy flexible award for half the cost of the cancellation, 75 Canadian dollars a person. And I then canceled my flexible award. So I ended up with all my miles back, all my taxes back. I just had to pay that 75 Canadian dollar change fee per passenger to change to the flexible award.
That's awesome. That's awesome that that works.
Right. And you can see my post for more detail about that. All right. I think is that. That mean it's time for this week's main event.
Main event time, super stacking stories. All right. So in a previous episode, now it's a couple years old now, but we went over the art of extreme stackery. That was the name of that previous episode, episode 231. Where we went into details of how to stack multiple deals on top of each other so that you can get so you could take what's a good deal by itself, turn it into a great deal, and then maybe even a better deal by stacking and stacking and stacking. So we're not gonna redo that show today. Instead, I want you to refer to that show. Go back to that show if you want, like, kind of details of all the different ways you can think about stacking. Today's show is more for inspiration. We'll tell a couple stories of some extreme stacking that we've each really done, and hopefully that'll make you think more as you're going into shopping or, maybe booking travel so that you can get a lot more rewards out of what you're doing. I am gonna say one sort of thing about specific about stacking, which is that most stacking deals involve shopping portals in some way. And, you know, shopping portals where you start on a website, on a shopping portal website, click through to wherever you are going to buy something, like maybe it's click through to hotels.com or a store like Dell or Macy's. And you get, when you make a purchase on the final website, you get rewards from the portal. And the reason I'm bringing that up is that not just that it's a key to most stacking, but also because there's usually an additional stack you can do on top of any given stack that you want to do, as long as there's a shopping portal involved. If you've never signed up for that shopping portal before, a lot of them have sign-up bonuses, and some of those bonuses are pretty good. So we've created a page, shopping portal bonuses, so you can find the biggest and best current shopping portal bonuses, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, very good. So you can certainly do really well with shopping portals, and we both love them. And so let's talk a little bit about a terrific stack that you had, because Greg is the extreme stacker. I mean, truth be told, I learned everything about stacking. If I back up for a second, I got into miles and points. A friend of mine was more into it than I was, actually a friend of a friend, and suggested that I go to an FTU, a frequent traveler university conference. And so I went to this conference, and during one of the time slots, there were a couple of people speaking, and I wasn't particularly familiar. I think I knew Frequent Miler, but I wasn't a daily reader at that point. But there were a couple of other people speaking at that time, and none of the topics really spoke to me. Greg was speaking about extreme stacking, and I thought, I already know everything I need to know about extreme stacking, so I don't think I need to go to that one. And I looked at the other topics, and I was like, well, I don't really think those topics pertain to me either. I guess I'll go to this stacking one, and I'll just at least listen and think to myself that I already knew what was going on. And then I sat there through the presentation, and I said, oh my goodness, what a good decision it was to sit through that one, because I thought I knew what I was doing when it came to stacking, and I realized I was scratching the surface. I was doing like the base level stuff. I was not extreme stacking. So you blew my mind that day, like more than a decade ago. And that is really what threw me head and shoulders into, you know, stacking deals and finding opportunities like these. So I'm excited to hear your story, because I know that you've come up with some really cool stacks over the years that have certainly inspired me to get so involved in this hobby and eventually end up working here.
Yeah, that's an awesome backstory. And what I'm going to talk about is also a backstory, in that this also happened a long time ago in a land far, far away. There was a challenge called Million Mile Madness. Not the recent
wait,
one.
Wait, that doesn't seem like it was a long time. That was just last year, Greg. We recycle around here.
We recycle, that's right. We're good for the planet. So anyway, back in 2013, there was no Frequent Miler podcast back then. There was no Frequent Miler team. It was just me sitting around punching in blog posts. And that's all there was of Frequent Miler back then. And for some reason, I had decided that earning points and miles was too easy. So I was going to make it harder for myself and set up a challenge. And I challenged myself to earn 1 million points in a month. And I called that Million Mile Madness. So what I did, the basics of what I did to earn 1 million miles in a month, which, yes, I succeeded. And I also aged about 5 years in 1 month doing that. But I signed up for so many credit cards on day one that the bonuses on those credit cards earned me over 500,000 points right there. And then the majority of what I did after that was I super stacked deals to buy items super, super like cheap and get a lot of points for buying them. And then I resold them mostly through Amazon, their fulfillment by Amazon. So I would ship those things into Amazon and they'd resell them. And that's how I'd get my money back for those purchases, and in some cases make a profit. Okay, that's the background. I'm going to drill down on one particular stack that was really, really good at the time. This is not replicable today. So again, think of it as inspiration, not a to-do list, but it's all about Kohl's. So back at that time, the Chase portal, which at the time was called the Ultimate Rewards Shopping or something like that, consistently offered 10 points per dollar at Kohl's. So right off, I mean, that gets your attention. That's really good for as a standard reward. So before the Million Mile Madness began, I did some experimenting on what kinds of double dipping type of opportunities existed. And so one of the things I tried was, could I go through the Chase portal, buy a Kohl's gift card to get 10x, and then go through the portal again to use the gift card to get another 10x? And what I found with my experiments was that buying electronic gift cards did not work, but buying physical gift cards did work. Again, I don't think that that's true today, but it was true at that time. And using gift cards of any type through the portal also worked. So I had established before Million Mile Madness began that I could get 20x buying things through the portal. Of course, I'd get more than that because whatever credit card I paid with would also earn rewards. Mostly, I would be doing cards that I just signed up for. So I'd be working towards the welcome bonus. So I'd earn, let's say, 1x with the card, and then it would help me get the welcome bonus. But there were some cases like the Freedom's rotating categories. Chase Freedom cards have 5x on certain things, and sometimes they offer 5x for like retail department stores or something like that, where Kohl's qualifies. And so there are times where you can get 5x from your credit card as part of this. So a total 25x shopping at Kohl's back at that time. But I wasn't anywhere near done. So that was great by itself.
I mean,
But
that's pretty
Kohl's.
good, 25x, right? I mean, that's 25 ultimate rewards. If you value those at, let's keep the math relatively simple here, 1.5 cents per point, 25x, that's what, 37.5% back, essentially, right? Not too
I
shabby.
mean, it's a great return just by itself, absolutely. But Kohl's frequently ran promos, and of course, I knew this. So one of the other things I did before Million Mile Madness started was I signed up for a Kohl's store card, not because I wanted to use it for anything, but because it unlocks, or it unlocked at the time, frequent 30% off codes that would give you like 30% off almost anything you bought at Kohl's. So that was awesome right there. And then the other thing, Kohl's frequently ran a deal where you got $10 of Kohl's cash for every $50 you spent. Okay, so I put all of that stuff together. I would go through the Ultimate Rewards Mall to earn 10x buying physical Kohl's gift cards. I would go through the Ultimate Rewards shopping mall again to earn another 10x. When I would buy, I would select a bunch of stuff to buy at Kohl's, ideally so that the total dollar amount was in multiples of $50 so that it would maximize the value of the Kohl's cash I would earn. I would input my 30% off code thanks to having my Kohl's card. So I would get 30% off. And so actually, let me back up. I would want multiples of 60, or I can't do the math off the top of my head, but I would want after 30% off for it to come to $50 or a multiple of $50 after the 30% off in order to maximize the Kohl's cash I was earning. That way, the Kohl's cash was like 20% extra rewards. I would then, of course, pay with my gift cards when checking out. And I would also pay with whatever Kohl's cash I had earned from a previous trip. So, I would keep cycling like that and then sell the items on Fulfillment by Amazon. I had tried a number of different items to sell, and actually, thanks to a reader tip, I found out that a certain like drink mixer or something was selling really well. So I would buy those at this incredible discount. So even forget the double dip, forget the 20x, the fact that I'm getting 30% off and Kohl's cash was a huge discount on these things that were selling at actually sometimes slightly above the price Kohl's set for them. So anyway, so all that stuff added up to I would make a profit on these things I bought at Kohl's and 20x rewards from the portal. It was phenomenal.
Incredible. Incredible. I mean, that's an amazing stack. And you might be sitting there saying, well, if it doesn't work anymore, why bother talking about it? But the thing to me is understanding how these things work is what helps you identify the next one. You know, when somebody else comes out with something, there's so many times when one of us has found something and somebody else at Frequent Miler says, oh, I wonder if that works like blah, blah, blah. And, you know, when you recognize the patterns, then you can start to put that knowledge to use and say, oh, well, I wonder if this would work then because I have experience or remember this or that. Those Kohl's days, they were so much fun. I used to do a lot of the KitchenAid mixers because they would frequently have rebates on them. And they did a lot of Canon camera equipment back in the day that had rebates. So I would stack that too. I'd mail in the rebate on those and get the rebates on those too. Yeah. Or they around the holidays, they would frequently do a lot of the small appliances free after rebate. Right. And so I think a lot of us had a garage full of small appliances for a while. Yeah, that was a great deal. Sears used to be very similar to this because they also had that double dip where you could go through a portal to buy the gift cards and then go through a portal to use the gift cards, and you would earn the Sears Shop Your Way rewards both. Well, right. Maybe not on both purchases. In that case, you'd earn them on the purchase of merchandise, and then you could redeem them for merchandise and roll them into, like, they would earn more of them again on the merchandise you bought.
Yeah, because sometimes they'd have items you could buy with 100% back in rewards. So you'd buy those items, then sell them, and then you use those rewards to buy more items that also gave 100% back in rewards. At some point, they stopped allowing that type of rolling, but for a while.
I can't imagine why.
For a while, my garage filled up with really lousy Bluetooth speakers.
You know, I was also reselling a bunch of stuff. I did a lot of Nikon camera equipment that they had for a while, but then these smokers, there were these electric smokers that were selling like hotcakes on eBay. Wow. And Sears was, again, it was one of those things where it was like 100% back and then you could roll them into more of them. I ended up getting an enclosed trailer and driving from Sears to load up on these smokers that I ordered for pickup at one place. And I'd come in and they'd be like, you got 10 smokers? Are you having like a big party? You know, sort of. Yes. I'm celebrating the sale of all of these smokers. But those were the days back then. So not very many sites anymore, if any, allow that double dip you're talking about where you earn rewards buying the gift card and then earn rewards using the gift card. But I always click through a portal if I'm going to buy a gift card just to see, because you never know when something might change or a new portal might come around and things just aren't coded the same as they were with others. And so if I'm going to buy a merchant gift card from a merchant, even though I expect to not earn portal rewards, I still click through a portal in order to buy it.
Yeah. Mostly it can't hurt. The final word on that particular story though, is that, as much, Nick seems to like the whole buying and reselling thing. I found it tedious. and after a month of it, I was really sick of it. So I ended up with hundreds of dollars in Kohl's cash that I had to spend within a few weeks. And it lined up really nicely. My teenage at the time, niece was visiting me. So I took her out to Kohl's and was like shopping spree time. And nice. I didn't even worry about like, was she going to get a good discount or anything? Just go have fun, spend all this down.
Nice. That's awesome. That's a lot of fun. And you know that I think that that's one of the fun parts of this hobby now and then, is being able to treat somebody like that in a situation where, you know, it's easy to stack that kind of thing and end up with that return that kind of feels like free money anyway. And it's kind of fun to share that with other folks. So yeah, I love that. I love that whole story. And I love the thought process that goes behind it. And again, I think that that's the important part, is how do we look at deals and how do we say, okay, well, I'm going to spend this money or I'm going to buy this thing. How can I get the most return? And it's not just about the category bonus that you get on the card, but rather how can I stack whatever other things are out there or techniques like this that are out there. So I've done a lot of that. Before I worked here at Frequent Miler, I did a lot of resale. So I did a lot of what Greg's talking about at Kohl's and Sears, and Neiman Marcus was great for a long time. It was also possible to double dip on the gift cards and then buy merchandise and earn the portal rewards twice. And similarly, they were often a high multiplier. I mentioned Sears before. That's how I earned my first companion pass, actually. It was 12 points per dollar, I think, through Southwest Rapid Reward Shopping. And same thing, I bought several thousand dollars worth of gift cards, and then I use the several thousand dollars worth of gift cards, and then I use the Shop Your Way rewards, and in a couple of days I had earned a companion pass through the shopping portal. So those were fun times. But more recently, I wanted to think of a couple of more recent stacks that aren't as complicated, because of course some of those stacking techniques that we've talked about aren't around anymore. But I want to talk about two, probably. One will be pretty quick. So recently, we were completing our JetBlue 25 for 25. And I might have mentioned this on the podcast. I can't remember whether I did or not, though, or whether I got into the details. So we had done a bunch of the JetBlue 25 for 25 flights over the summer. Of course, this is where you fly the 25 JetBlue destinations by the end of the year, and you get Mosaic status for 25 years and 350,000 points per person. So Greg and I had done the Duncan flight back in the summer that provided 3 free months of Mosaic status. And my family really enjoyed that. We had a great time enjoying the benefits of Mosaic status while we traveled, because of course we got free checked bags and we got even more space at check-in on almost all of the flights that we took. So we really enjoyed that and came to like our Mosaic One status, but that was fleeting. It was only for 3 months, and we didn't quite finish all of the flights within that 3 months. And instead, we had our last 5 flights, or for me, last 4 anyway, set up a couple of months later here in November and December, after my Mosaic status would expire, which meant that we weren't going to get free checked bags anymore, and we wouldn't have a shot at the even more space seats. And so that seemed kind of disappointing. And then it dawned on me that we had a path to get to that status again with JetBlue. And so what I did was, for a while this fall, and periodically, this has come and gone, Hyatt and American Airlines have targeted members who have status with one or the other to get a fast track. And my wife has Hyatt Discover status because she's a Hyatt World of Hyatt credit card holder. And that's an automatic level of status that comes with the World of Hyatt credit card. And so she was targeted with the opportunity to do a match to American Airlines Gold with the Instant Status Pass. And the way the Instant Status Pass works is, as soon as you do that match, you get the airline status. You get the American Airlines Gold status, and then you have to earn a certain number of points within the first 3 months. I think it's 12,000 in the first 3 months to keep the gold status. But the nice thing, the keep thing here, is that they do grant you the gold status immediately and instantly. So she went ahead and did that match and matched the American Airlines gold status. And then from the American Airlines gold status, she filled out the JetBlue match to Mosaic. And I mentioned this, I just ran into somebody in a club lounge over the weekend who we were talking about JetBlue, and he said, "Oh my goodness, I'm flying almost every week and I'm still not at Mosaic." But he mentioned that he was executive platinum with American Airlines. And I said, "Oh, well, you could easily get Mosaic benefits then with the Match to Mosaic program." So JetBlue similarly offers a match program where you can match status from many different airlines to JetBlue. And so my wife matched her American Airlines Gold status to JetBlue Mosaic One. And similar to the American Airlines match, the nice thing is that JetBlue gives you the status benefits right away for the first 3 months, and you need to earn a minimum number of tiles within that 3 months in order to keep the status. For us, we knew we were going to complete the 25 flights and end up with Mosaic One, so she wasn't worried about earning the tiles, but she was able to match her American Airlines Gold to JetBlue Mosaic One. And then on our recent trip, we were able to get free checked bags for the family, and we got even more space seats on all of our flights yet again. So that's been great. That's been a nice way to take her $95 Discoverist status from a credit card and parlay that into Mosaic One status that saved us a bunch of money on bags and got us some extra legroom seats. So that's not a purchase stack, but that's a status stack.
I love that story. I love that you put a lie to my intro where I said most stacks use portals. That one doesn't.
Well, that came to mind because it was something a little bit different than the typical portal one. But portals, to speak to a quick portal stack separately, one of the things that I've loved about Capital One Shopping, and we've talked a bunch about Capital One Shopping, they have had some incredible targeted offers really over the last couple of years, but certainly at this time of year, the holiday shopping season, they seem to come out with some of the best offers. We've seen a number of stores over the last week or two or three reach like 70% back in rewards through Capital One Shopping, which is just wild and crazy. And I wrote a guide recently about how to use it, because Capital One Shopping is not necessarily completely intuitive, and it's not loved by everyone. Some people have trouble with the portal. So I wrote a guide to try to explain what I do that I've had success with and what you need to know about it, because this is a public portal anybody can use. And one of the things that I really love about it is, of course, the targeted offers. But let me back that up. One of the things nobody loves about it is that the rewards can only be redeemed for gift cards. And so that's kind of a bummer, because you're stuck with whatever gift card redemption options they have. But several times now, what I have done is redeemed my Capital One Shopping rewards that I've earned from shopping through the portal for a Hotels.com gift card. And then I have clicked around in the browser where I have the Capital One extension installed, because we've anecdotally found that by clicking around in whatever browser where you have the extension installed, you will frequently get targeted offers for the sites that you've been clicking around at. So I clicked around at hotels.com, searched for a hotel, you know, looked at the rates and everything, and then left without making a booking. And like clockwork, in recent times especially, I have gotten an offer within hours for the store that I was clicking around at. And so I've done that several times now with hotels.com, where I've clicked around hotels.com and then gotten a targeted offer for 10 or 20% back at hotels.com and gone ahead and made the booking using my hotels.com gift card that I had redeemed from rewards, and then get 20% back on that payment. So let's say I redeemed for a $100 gift card and booked a $100 hotel and I got 20% back. Well, that's another $20 that I can redeem for another hotels.com gift card in the future and use that again, going through the portal again in order to trigger the rewards. So I've done that several times with hotels.com. I've done it with some other merchants too, and I didn't care about the credit card rewards as much, because that is a way to at least stack. And again, with like 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% back, sometimes the return is so high that it's pretty compelling. It's kind of hard. It's made it hard for me to consider using other portals. And I'm excited about Rakuten now that they're partnering with Bilt. But as excited as I am about that, you know, I've gotten 35, 40, 70% back on a number of purchases lately, and some big purchases. I bought a Christmas gift where, you know, I got a nice big chunk. I got like $400 back on an expensive item. So I was super happy with the portal lately. And it tracked is the nice thing too. So,
right. I love that kind of stacking through the portal. One of the things, as much as I hate that they don't offer true cash back, it helps with the joy of free. So I've written about this in the past, where when your rewards are not cash and not generally usable for lots of different things, but rather only available for, you know, usable for specific things, to me, it makes, when I use those rewards, it makes it seem more free. So like if I use one of these gift cards to get a bunch of hotels.com credit, and then I book a hotel stay with that credit, it feels like that hotel stay is free. And in fact, that's what I did as a graduation gift for my son when he went to Tokyo. I used a bunch of that Capital One credit to book hotels for them. And yeah, it felt like I was getting it basically free. And so there, even though, you know, economically it's not nearly as good as getting cash back, it might make you feel better about the rewards in that weird indirect way.
That's true. And, you know, and I'm going to add one more quick story, because I can't remember if it's on the Art of Extreme Stackery or not, but this is a few years back. And this is not a shopping portal story, so I'm not going to beat the shopping portal drum anymore. But a couple of years ago, there was a Choice Blue Greens Vacations timeshare offer. And timeshare offers come around from time to time. We just have recently seen a really good one from Hilton out, actually, for their Hilton Grand Vacations. But I did one of these with Choice Privileges a few years back, where you paid something like $200 and you got a 3-night stay and 80,000 Choice Privileges points for attending a timeshare presentation. And I wasn't going to buy a timeshare. I knew that. There were actually two options. I could have taken fewer points and stayed at the Blue-Green Vacations property that they were trying to show me, or I could take 80,000 points and let them book me at a partner hotel. And so I took them up on the partner hotel because it said that they use hotels like Marriott and Hilton, etc. And so I had gotten booked into a Residence Inn is what they did. And so, of course, since Blue Green Vacations was booking the hotel room, I didn't expect that I would earn Marriott rewards on it, but I was interested because at the time Marriott had a promotion for double elite nights and I was trying to requalify for platinum status. And I figured, well, I've got three nights. It'd be great to be able to get six elite nights for this on top of the 80,000 choice privileges points that I expected to get. So when I called Blue Green and made the reservation for that Residence Inn in Orlando, as the case was, I asked on the phone, do you have a confirmation number for the hotel? It seemed like a reasonable question to ask that somebody, sure, you know, keeping notes would want to have that when they check in. And so it didn't seem strange, I don't think at all, to the agent that I asked. So she was happy to provide me with the confirmation number. So then I went to the Marriott site and you can look up a reservation. And so I went to look up the reservation on the Marriott site. And of course it had my name, but it didn't have my Marriott Bonvoy number, of course. So the choice wasn't going to give them that. And it didn't have my contact information. So I tried to put my Marriott Bonvoy number in there thinking, hey, maybe that'll get me credit for the stay, but the system wouldn't take it. It kept just giving me an error and deleting it, taking it back out. But by playing around with the form and seeing, well, what's in there and what's not in there, I realized that I was able to put my email address in and save it. And then once I put my email address in and I saved it, then it let me add my Marriott Bonvoy number to the reservation once it was associated with my email address. And sure enough, I earned the double elite night credits. I earned, there was a stacking promotion at the time for 1,000 bonus points per night. I earned that as well. And I earned Marriott Bonvoy points based on the rate that Choice or Blue Green Vacations paid Marriott for the room. So it worked out really well in the end. So sometimes you just have to keep at it until you're successful. In that case, if I'd given up, I wouldn't have gotten anything, but I kept at it, even though I didn't think it would work. I figured there's no harm in trying to make it work.
Right. No, that's a great story. Just as an aside, so I've had situations too where I've had to, after the fact, add my loyalty number, like Marriott number, to a reservation that was booked by someone else. And I haven't had luck pulling it up. Well, I didn't always have access to the confirmation code either, pulling it up online. But I found that our cell phones have a trick, which is that they can make old-fashioned audio calls. And
What?
Yeah, I would call the hotel itself, not Marriott Central, and say, you know, I have a reservation on this date. Can you add my Marriott number to it? And of course, they're very happy to do that. And that's worked 100% of the time. Depending on how it was booked, you may or may not earn elite credit for the stay. But sometimes, even if you don't earn any points or elite credit, sometimes you get elite benefits during the stay if you have elite status when you go. So it's worth using that unknown function of your phone to try that out.
The old-fashioned way of communicating, actually making a phone call. Well, thank you for that tip, Greg the Frequent Miler. All right. That brings us, I think, to the end of this week's main event and brings us to this week's question of the week. This week's question of the week comes in from me. And so this week's question of the week is one I have for Greg, but I have it also for the audience, because I am as interested in hearing audience suggestions or response to this, opinions about this, as I am Greg. So I want to hear from all of you as well. So I'll give you the situation and ask you, what should I do? So I completed the JetBlue 25 for 25 promotion, and I have Mosaic 1 status now. Because I'm doing this with my family, the rest of my family soon will do that, and I'll have Mosaic 1 status as well. When I reached status from JetBlue, I was given, of course, the opportunity to make a choice benefit. And so the key choice benefits for most people, if you reach Mosaic 1, are going to be either to take 15,000 bonus TrueBlue points, which I don't actually have a reasonable redemption value in front of me, but I think it's about 1.3. So let's call it $200 worth, to keep it simple, $200 worth of JetBlue points. Or you could take 20 tiles. And tiles, of course, is the JetBlue metric for measuring elite status. Or you can gift 20 tiles to somebody else. So right now, I have 25 tiles that I've earned just from doing this JetBlue challenge, basically. So I've got 25 tiles already in my account. If I chose the 20 tiles, I'd be at 45 tiles. But then when the rest of my family hits Mosaic 1 status, they would have the ability to gift me 20 tiles each if they wanted to. And if they did, that'd be another 60 tiles. That would put me at 105 JetBlue tiles, which would give me Mosaic 2 status. So my question is, should we do that? Should I take the tiles and have the rest of my family gift me tiles so I end up with Mosaic 2 status? Or should we each take the 15,000 points and end up with an additional 60,000 points, which, you know, I said it's about $200 each, about $800 worth of points. So the question becomes, is JetBlue Mosaic 2 worth giving up the $600 or $800 worth of JetBlue True Blue points? And I assume that Craig's going to say you're not entirely familiar with the benefits of Mosaic 2. And so the key benefit of Mosaic 2 is being able to pick even more space seats at the time of booking. Although, of course, starting in February, that's only going to be for the person who has Mosaic 2 and up to two companions on the reservation. And I'm usually traveling with a family of four, so I don't know whether I'll get great use out of that. Also, you'll continue to get two checked bags per person in February, whereas Mosaic 1 will only get us one checked bag per person. So what would you do, Greg? Would you take the 60,000 points, or would you have everybody gift me the tiles?
One thing I would want to check first, it's probably not possible, but whether it's possible to wait until January to make the selection, and if that would then give you effectively 2 years of that enhanced status. You know, if you do that, obviously that would make the status selection more valuable. It would also make it more likely that this scenario might work out for you. There's been a lot of speculation that JetBlue might get bought, and particularly people have thought United seems like a likely suitor. If that happens in the time frame where you have Mosaic 2, might then United map you to like United Gold status instead of Premier Silver? And then who knows what opportunities that might engender, right? So that would be kind of fun, and it's totally speculative. But if something like that happens and you can make use of it, it would be a shame if you hadn't done this trick. So it's definitely a gamble. So the way I would think about it is this, that, you know, if you're sure you're going to run through your well over a million points across your whole family, and so the extra points would definitely be valuable to you, then yeah, you could go with the safe choice and pick points as your reward. But if you're not sure that, you know, how quickly you'll go through those points, and so a lot of them would be sitting there unused anyway, then gamble and go for the elite status and see if it ends up helping you more than you expect.
All right, I'm going to tag one more follow-up question that's quick to that. Let's consider the fact that if you're spot on with all of this. If I want to make that play because maybe United buys them, maybe my Mosaic 2 becomes, you know, United Gold, and maybe the expiration date somehow sticks on there and I end up keeping United Gold for long. I mean, there's all sorts of maybes there, right? But then maybe also my JetBlue points could become United Miles in the future. So would it make a difference if that might become 60,000 United miles someday? Would you be more inclined to take the miles or still more inclined to gamble on the status?
I'd still be inclined to gamble just because the points are something you can get. So, you know, you have Chase points, you could transfer United. And of course, there's other ways of getting JetBlue points. I would, but getting a higher level elite status is not something you can easily just get. So, you know, it kind of depends, I guess, whether you're doing it as part of the game. You want to do what the fun, I think the elite status is the fun choice. And, but if you want to do what's sort of the, economically reasonable choice, like you're more likely to get more value out of the points. Like,
right.
I think that's, definitely the case, but there's,
true.
It's, and so I, you know, I go back to, it's a gamble either way.
Yeah, I had the same thought. And by the way, I don't think the January thing would work because I assume that my 25 tiles that I've earned this year will go back to zero in January. So if we waited until January to select, I'd have 80 tiles instead of the 100 that I need. So I'd be 20 short, which I guess then I could go after some way of trying to figure out how to bridge that gap. But anyway, yeah, I thought it was just kind of interesting. Also potentially interesting for a future status match to another airline, because many times other airlines reserve their better statuses for Mosaic 2 and up. So I may go for that. I'm on the, I think you're probably right with a lot of points coming in. But let's see, readers, let me know. What do you think? What would you do? Would you take the bird in the hand, so to speak, the value you know you can get out of the points, or would you kind of gamble and go for the higher level of status? I want to know. All right, that brings us to the end of today's episode. If you've enjoyed this and you'd like to get more of this stuff in your inbox each day or each week, you want to go to frequentmiler.com/subscribe. Again, that's frequentmiler.com/subscribe. Join our email list, follow us on all the various social media, join our Frequent Miler Insiders Facebook group. And if you have a question that you'd like to be considered for a future question of the week, or a piece of feedback that you'd like to be considered for the mailbag, you can send that too.
Send it to mailbag@frequentmiler.com. Bye, everybody.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights, and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voyescape.com.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.